Eat shit and die, Ricky!
Eat shit and live, Bill.
People's eyes are gonna pop out of their damn skulls when they see this.
Listen, you little bitch. You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish.
Finger licking good.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Horror Flicks and Guitar Picks podcast. I'm your host, Tim Trashmouth Mills, and today's guest is the one and only Kevin Crimson of the band Green Jelly, his solo work, and much more. Now, before we dive into that, I just want to remind you guys to go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and X for all updates on the podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, you could do so the free way by just sharing it around or rating and subscribing wherever you're listening. Or if you'd like to sign up for the Patreon, it is only $2 a month. The link for that is in the description. You'll get some stickers in the mail, a shout out on a future episode, and a couple of other perks as well, so check that out if you're interested. Also, on April 17th, we'll be back at Keegan's Irish Pub in Virginia Beach for Horror Movie Trivia Night, so come on out if you're in the area. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and let's get into this week's episode.
I'm over at my sister's house. I'm in, this is my brother-in-law who plays with me in Green Jello. It's Ash Freely.
Hell yeah. How's it going, man?
You got to see his face.
It's going well.
That's what for Green Jelly.
Green Jelly sucks.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
He wears a shower cape.
Got the LED, the 1978 Ace Frehley thing, but look, with duct tape.
Fuck yeah.
And, LED lights.
He flips the guitar. He flips the guitar. It says Ass Frehley underneath.
That rules. Hell yeah.
So yeah, I hooked my brother-in-law band member up with the little setup here.
So. Yeah, everything's good. All that, I can hear you great, and it looks like you're getting a nice visual. So,
yeah, hell yeah,
should be good to go.
So, pretty much, my first question, you know, is just about the music side of things, and it's just kind of quick, you know, to give you room to promote anything. Of course, you're playing Green Jelly, but you also, you know, I know you do some of your own stuff as well. Do you want to promote anything you guys got coming up, or you know, any shows or music or anything like that?
Yeah, there's a lot, man. With the Geriatrics, he plays in a band called the Geriatrics.
Okay.
A horror punk band. I used to drum for them. Now they have a different lineup because I started freelancing. So, but yeah, they have we play all around Pennsylvania area, and they have a show coming up. The next one,
Mill Hill Basement in Trenton.
Mill Hill Basement
Saturday night.
Yeah.
Okay.
This Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Trenton. So if anyone's in the Trenton, New Jersey area, definitely check them out. They're a killer horror punk band, Geriatrics.
Oh yeah. Now, some of my co-hosts and stuff that I do that monthly episode with are in the Pennsylvania area, so I'll definitely make sure that they check them out and come out to some shows. This might air after that show, but I'll definitely leave it in so, you know, they can check out the band and shit for sure. I'll check them out myself as well. So,
wait, thank you.
Anything else you got? I know you said you do some solo, if I'm not mistaken, you're working on some solo stuff as well?
Yes, yeah. I was most because I would drum so much. I was always just drumming mostly for bands all the time. You know, I would write songs and I never really got around to it, but I finally was able to get some time to do it. You know, I've been having a lot of fun with it, so we got a couple songs recorded now. They're almost finished. And my first single is actually going to come out on the it's called Camp Blood. It's going to be on the Friday the 13th Blood Loss soundtrack. It's a new fan film coming out later this year, so I'm doing a song for that soundtrack.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. No, that was actually my next question. I saw that you were working on that. Are you just doing the single, or are you scoring the fan film as well?
I'm not scoring it. It's going to be mostly just background sound effects. There's some, there's not a whole lot of artists on the soundtrack, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not scoring it. I'm just doing one track for the soundtrack, you know?
Okay.
I'm hoping they put it in the credits or something at the beginning or the end, though, because it's a pretty cool song, you know? I can't wait. Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, I've been kind of getting into the horror scene a little bit, you know? Like, I love the conventions and, like, as far as myself as a solo artist, you know, I'm marketing myself sort of in that genre, you know, but I'm also not afraid. My music is really melodic too. And I'm trying not to, I just want it to be organic, you know, and kind of come from the heart. And I don't want to try so hard, you know, because I was insecure before. Now I really don't care. Like, I just why not, you know, just do it. Okay. You know, people want to laugh at me like, oh, you suck. So we'll see. No, but I think it's going to be good.
Right. Now, people are hating, fuck them. You know what I mean? So, and Pennsylvania is a good area to do it because there's so many like indie filmmakers and stuff that could definitely use, you know, people trying to come up in the music side of it as well. You know, so definitely a good place for it.
It's a lot of fun, too. Like writing for a movie, you can kind of delve into what it's about. You know, it's almost like not writing a regular song. You're writing specific, you know.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Hell yeah. And a lot of conventions nowadays have bands performing, you know, even if it's just to cap off the night or, you know, throughout the day and stuff. So that's one thing that's also getting like cool. It's like a lot of these I'll be up in Jersey for Monster Mania in March, and they got fucking like Lars from Rancid there as a guest and shit like that. So it's
awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. I saw Lars was going to be there.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I love Monster Mania. I've been there a few times. Yeah, not too far from there. So, yeah, that's a good one.
No, this will be our first time because I'm down in Carolina. So usually I go to Mad Monster and stuff. But I just decided I wanted to check out something else on the East Coast this year. And Monster Mania is always talked up. And that's actually the weekend of my birthday. So it just worked out. I was like, fuck it. I'll plan myself a birthday trip. Why not? You know what I mean? So
nice.
Works out. But hell yeah. But anything else you want to promote before we jump into the general chat about horror movies and stuff like that?
What else? Maybe just, I'm still drumming a lot, you know, it's like, I'm so busy lately. It's like, yeah, my solo stuff's going to come out, but I'm also drumming for bands too. I almost don't know what I'm doing anymore. I'm keeping busy though. So that's good. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Now drummers are hard to find. So it's like a lot of most drummers that I have on the show have like five or six projects because so many people are like trying to find the drummers, you know what I mean? So
I feel
on that for sure.
And I'll be touring with, you know, we'll be doing Green Jelly Gates again. Definitely later this year when they come back on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah.
And I might even see, you know, I'm kind of nudge Bill Manspeaker and say, can I open the show and play a few songs, you know? Kind of get my solo stuff out there. So technically, I've done that before, you know, like my own band. I opened up for my own band, you know. I had like my local band open for Green Jelly. We like sneak on the bill, you know.
Fuck yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. Back in the day, I used to play in two bands, and there'd be times where we both want to open a show for a bigger band and stuff like that. So I'd play like double duty. So I know exactly what you mean. It's fun, you know what I mean? You get to play different stuff, but you know, still get to like enjoy it. Plus, it's easier. It make more sense for you to open it because it's save money on the tour as well as just immediately give you two acts per show. You know what I mean? At least, so you wouldn't have to worry about if you know an opener drops or something. There's always at least two acts, you know. So
yeah.
No, I'll definitely keep an eye out for the dates. And if you guys come anywhere near, I'll definitely, you know, shoot out to a show for sure. So we can chill and have a beer and stuff.
Oh, hell yeah. Sounds good.
But, hell yeah. So pretty much my first question when it comes to the horror stuff is, growing up, what was your relationship with horror movies? And, you know, did it change at all as you got older and became an adult?
It didn't really change. I still love it. I always will love it. I was, like, infatuated with it when I was young. I don't know. Man, there's something about it, you know?
Yeah.
Especially as a kid. You know, I think horror... It's such a different genre than, you know, a comedy or something else, a drama. It can be really intense, you know.
It's like the forbidden fruit almost for kids, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And I don't know. I mean, my dad used to let me watch the horror movies, you know, when I was a kid. Like, they didn't really, you know, they were just, I think back, they're a little different today. They're maybe a little more violent today than they were back then. But still, even, you know, I remember watching like some crazy shit, like seeing like Hellraiser Kid and be like, oh my God, what the hell is this? Yeah. But, you know, I was sitting there like watching with my pop, and I was hooked, you know?
Yeah.
Because and maybe just having a nightmare, I was scared. Like, it made it almost like, I was like, there's that too, you know? Even I still can watch horror movies, even ones that I've seen, it might still be a little scared. I see them, you know, it doesn't matter, you know? Because they still have that power, you know?
Yeah, that little, like, shot of adrenaline. That was my thing, is, like, growing up, I was terrified of them. But it was, like, you know, they were, like, the only genre that, you know, people didn't want you to watch, you know? Because who's going to stop you from watching unless your parents are, like, real prudish and don't want you to hear the F word, they're not going to stop you from watching comedies except for, like, maybe Porky's or something with a bunch of titties, you know what I mean? So, like, horror is the genre that they try to really keep you away from and stuff. And, you know, not try to keep away from, but you know, they just warn you about, you know what I mean? Or you hear like, oh, that one's scary, you know what I mean? You might get scared. So no, it's definitely got that intriguing thing to it for every kid. And it's whether you're scared of it or love it, it's just easy to, it's so attractive to kids, because if you're scared of it, you still want that rush of being scared. And if you're not scared of it, you want that rush of like, oh, I saw this movie I'm not supposed to watch, you know what I mean? Because it's not for kids. So no, that's just so fun. Plus, it's like you said, it's the stuff wasn't as gory, because like Cannibal Holocaust right now is streaming on fucking Amazon Prime, where back then you had to like call a guy that had a burnt, you know, like a bootleg VHS of it or something. You couldn't just like go rent Cannibal Holocaust at your local VHS Blockbuster or whatever. So
I know. I mean, I the new Saw, I saw that recently, you know, and I was surprised. I was like, because I kind of, not that I gave up on it or anything, it was just after, maybe I didn't keep up with the Saw movies as much, because I loved the first one. It really was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was really cool. I mean, especially at the end with the twist, you know, where he's in the room, they think he's dead. And that was just, that was like clever, man, you know, little twists like that. But then it just kept going on and on a little bit, I think, with the storyline. But the newest one, I was actually impressed with it. It was pretty cool. You're actually like rooting for the first time, you root for like Jigsaw, because they like screw him over and they do something horrible, terrible. Like he thinks he's getting cured from his disease, and all they do is they take all of his money, and they do it to a bunch of people. It's just a big scam, you know? So they steal millions of dollars and they end up doing it to the wrong guy, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, those movies are crazy. Even the traps were like, I was like, oh my God. You know, like it was intense. Some of them.
Yeah. No, I really enjoy the traps in Saw. Like that was one of the best parts of Saw X, is like the traps felt, cause they still felt like, almost hard to beat, but it's also like, that's the part, like that's one of the things that's like where it lies in the timeline. He's still kind of learning anyways, so it would make sense that they're hard to beat, because you know he's still trying to figure out like, oh shit, like that's hard to, you know. So but some of those trap, like when the girl has to like saw her own leg off, that shit was just like
I'm like isn't that bad enough? I'm like, oh my god,
right.
That is horrible.
Then she gets it off and she has to use the fill the thing up with bone marrow. It's just like, oh my god, it just keeps doubling down. So
I've been watching like ones, catching up with ones that I haven't seen, like X was pretty cool. That trilogy. Yeah, I was impressed with that too. I thought that was awesome. It was better than I expected. I didn't really know, you know, what to think. I just picked it up, you know, on Blu-ray one day at Walmart. I'm like, oh, I've been wanting to see this. It was like, you know, $5. And I was like, it was good. So I haven't seen really those sequels though. And I think the third one's coming out.
Yeah, Pearl came out, which was the like prequel, and then Maxine's gonna come out, which you know follows Maxine from the final girl of X or whatever. But no, I fucking loved X as well. It's one of those movies that it's like kind of a typical slasher. I say that in quotes because it's not, you know, like it's not like it's been done before with like the porno and stuff. But it's it just does it so well that it's just it's hard not to love that film. I really enjoy it myself as well.
Yeah, and then the new Scream, not the newest one. I still haven't seen the last one where they're in New York. I saw the one before that I just watched recently. And that was pretty cool. I mean, it's cool that like they brought the legacy characters back and they were calling it like a requel. It was cool to see, like, they definitely upped the ante as far as, because I remember some of the ones from the early 2000s or late 90s where they kind of had a little bit of a cheese factor. Like they made these ones are definitely more violent, at least, you know, they're like, you know, there was more intensity there. A little more of a twist too. I kind of had a hunch, like I kind of knew, I was like, all right, well, he's definitely a killer. I knew the boyfriend was one of the killers. Like you could just tell, but the one girl I didn't, you know, that surprised me. And it was cool how she would see visions of her father, Billy Loomis, you know, from the original. It's cool that Skeet Ulrich came back. I remember I went to one Monster Mania, and there was a reunion, a Scream reunion and craft reunion. It was pretty cool. So Skeet Ulrich, they were all there. I was at the Q&A. And she walked right by me, Nev Campbell. That was pretty cool. I like the Q&As because they're free, you know?
Yeah.
And you can raise your hand and ask them questions. I went to Malcolm McDowell. He was pretty cool.
Okay.
He's funny too. I think he had a few in him. It was funny. Yeah, but somebody asked him about Halloween. He's like, I don't know. I never even saw it before. Like, that's crazy to not even, that's like a legendary film. You would think it's funny, I guess, some actors, but it's not uncommon. I've heard of some of them haven't seen films, it's like,
yeah,
some actors don't even watch their own films, like Johnny Depp,
No, and then of course, like, some people just don't like horror, so like Halloween's a horror movie, so he just might, even though he does horror films and does great at them, he just might not love the genre as a viewer. So that's wild.
I feel like I'm the only one, speaking of Halloween, who like, oh my God, I actually liked Halloween Ends. Like, I didn't hate it. Like, maybe because it was something different, because I felt that the first two, like 2018 Halloween was okay. I saw that one in theaters. Kills was a little bit, I was like, all right, that one was a little whack. So I was like, they better make the next one, and I don't know, the fact that Corey, they switched things up and they did something like Halloween 3, so Michael Myers, the real Michael Myers, only has about 10 minutes of actual screen time,
Yeah.
And the rest is Corey, it's almost like Possession in a way or something. It's kind of cool, or, I don't know, they tried something different. I give them props for that, because I didn't see it when it came out. I saw it recently, and I was like, all right, I thought it would be worse, it wasn't as bad as I thought.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see, especially watching it after it gets all that hate, I could see where it wouldn't be so bad. Like, that's how I felt when I just recently watched that Five Nights at Freddy movie, like, just this past week or two, and I didn't hate it. Like, of course, like, I don't really care about the games or nothing, and I don't think it was great, but I didn't hate it. Like, a lot of people were saying, like, it was, like, the top selling movie for Blumhouse, so of course it did well in the theaters, but it's also PG-13 horror, so that always does well in theaters. But no, I'm with you. I personally didn't like Halloween Ends, but I only watched it one time when it dropped, so I don't hate it, but no, I definitely see what you mean. It's kind of like, it kind of reminds me of like the story of Christine, but instead of the obsession with a car, it's like with like Michael Myers and stuff. And it plays out, it's like a good told story. I guess it's just not what a lot of people expected at the end of a trilogy. But I could definitely see where watching it after it gets all this fucking hate, where it's like, oh, that wasn't as bad as everybody's saying. You know what I mean? Because I watched it like the night it dropped or whatever, and like I didn't like it, but I didn't watch it again. And I definitely want to give it another chance, after giving it some time to like,
fizzle. I mean, it would have been cooler if he was in it more or something. he only really had a couple scenes.
Which I will say, a lot of people argue that he's not in the first, like if you watch the original or whatever and actually count the time, a lot of people argue that he's like got the same amount of screen time. But I'm like, in a sequel, you always expect a slasher to have more screen time because you've already established him. So it's not fair to, compare it to the very first movie. Because like even in Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one, Freddy Krueger has way less screen time than he does in 2, 3, 4, 5. You know what I mean? Because once you establish him, there's no mystery. It's like, we know the killer. We just want to see him. So,
dude, I'm a Fredhead, man. Seriously.
Hell yeah.
He's one of my favorites. Probably, yeah. I'd say Nightmare and Halloween are like two of my favorites. I remember as a kid, those were the first two that I kind of saw, And I really think the first Halloween from 78 and even the follow-up, part two, the original sequel that was pretty good for a sequel too, and it's so awesome how it like, when he shoots him and he falls out the window, part two starts exactly where, you didn't really see a lot of movies that, that was clever, I think. Like, literally, there's like no kind of storyline in the beginning. It literally it takes off right where it, left off from part one, which is really cool. I like that about it. It was really creepy. That was the mask was the best. The guy who played him was the best, I think. He was creepy walking around the hospital. He's one of the best performances of Michael Myers, I think.
We got Michael Myers' best kill because he drowns the girl in like the like steaming hot like hot tub and like burns her face and shit. This was
like part one. It's weird. All the gore. There's not like a ton of blood or gore, but it's still scary.
Yeah,
because he's like, just comes out of the shadows. He's behind you. That's what's creepy, about him. He's like a creeper, and I guess that's why they call him the Shape, right? But
yeah.
Part two was like much more violent, visceral. he was like sticking needles in people's eyes, like, oh shit. They upped the ante in that one. But and I thought that was awesome too, because it really showed what he's capable of. An awesome ending too. I mean, when he just caught in flames. That, you know, they could have ended it there. It would have been perfect. They should have, almost, you know, like, yep. Never wonder, you know, did he, you know, because he was almost unstoppable. I mean, she shot him in the face twice and blinded him, you know, and he didn't die, and he's walking on fire. So you could end it there and be like, holy shit, you could totally make a sequel.
Yeah.
I personally, I'm not like, well, I love Danielle Harris and stuff. Like, it's not her. Like part 4 and 5 from the '80s, four is okay, you know. Like, it had good cinematography. Like, the beginning is great. How it's almost like a silent montage in a way. Like, it's just there's not a lot of music in the background. It's just like rural, you know, Illinois in the fall with like it captures the essence of it's got real creepy kind of music going, you know, in the beginning of Halloween 4. It's a great opening, you know, and the way they brought him back, I guess, was cool. But I guess part 5 was a little goofy, you know. Like, one of my favorites was which one was it? Oh, I would say from the '90s, the one with Paul Rudd, The Curse. Oh,
yeah, part 6. Yeah.
I think they made up for it, in my opinion. In that one, I thought that's one of my favorites. That was pretty cool, you know.
Okay.
I mean, that came out at the time too, when like Scream was coming out and stuff, you know. So I think they were due. They needed another good one, you know, somehow. And Donald Pleasance was his last one, you know. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. I also, some people don't like the Rob Zombie ones, but I mean, I kind of liked them, you know. He did what Rob Zombie would do. He made them just much. He just made a ton more gore, a ton more blood, you know.
Yeah.
Everything. He just Rob Zombified it, you know. It took me, you know, part 2 had to grow on me. At first I didn't like it. I was like, what are they doing? Like with Loomis and stuff, they made him, he was on like talk shows and stuff, and they made him kind of they changed him. I'm like, that's not Dr. Loomis. That's not was his personality. You know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, he was like relentlessly going after Michael in the old franchise, and by this one, he was like a celebrity. So, no, I definitely know what you mean. Like, Rob Zombie's part 2, like, isn't my favorite, but I really enjoy his first, his part 1. I understand people not liking it because it's like one of the best parts of the original 1978 is the mystery of like why he's a killer and all that. But my thing is if you don't like Rob Zombie's part 1 or whatever, just watch the second half and then you don't have to worry about the first half where he's like killing his mom and his stepdad and all that stuff. But I think the whole movie is pretty good. I love the look of it. I love Tyler Mane as Michael Myers, and then I even like Scout Taylor Compton as Laurie Strode as well. So
I had a great cast. That was always one that was big with me as a kid. But I mean, talk about like, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street too. Like those were like, I was just completely terrified, you know, as a little kid. But I loved it at the same time. That's why I still love those movies. You know, I've seen them 100 times, but you could laugh, you know, Freddy's like a rock band almost or something. You know, he was completely different than the others. Cause you didn't really, up until that point, there was just slashers with masks. There wasn't like clever stuff going on, you know, in the horror genre. And 84, right? That came out in 84, yeah. And it was like, it opened the doors for like psychological horror. Like, I'm really big on psychological horror, you know. I love, you know, just having to think about it and wondering, like, and if it, like, you think, like, oh shit, maybe that could have actually happened. Like, I really love like possession movies. Like, I watched Exorcist 3 recently. That really grew, like, I didn't like it at first, but then I was like, after like the second time I saw it, I was like, oh, it wasn't that. It was pretty cool, actually, you know? Because how they were doing it when, you know, they didn't know who the killer was at all, and he was possessing people from within, but he was incarcerated, you know? I enjoyed it. It was pretty cool. And of course, I mean, the original. I love the book. Even the book, I mean, the book was scary too, you know. There's stuff that was in the book that didn't make the movie, you know.
Yeah,
but I remember reading the book, and even reading the book is scary, you know. You could read the script to the movie and be scared, you know. Like, it was a hell of a performance for, you know, for her. She was like only 11 years old playing that part, you know.
Yeah,
be a young girl possessed by the devil, you know. I mean, that, and it's graphic too. I mean, it's hard to think that that came out 50 years ago. This year, I think it turned, it was like, yeah, 50 years ago.
And yeah, just this past Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, and it's 2024. I mean, you can watch it now and be like, holy shit, you know? Like, that's some graphic stuff, you know?
Yeah, what so, other movies are like, your mother sucks cocks in hell? Like,
right, right. How many movies say that, you know? And she's stabbing herself with a crucifix. And
yeah.
You know, it's, oh my, yeah. I mean, and yeah, so that the psychological to me, I love, you know? It's just, I enjoy, I write it, like sometimes I write songs about that type of stuff, you know? Being stuck in your subconscious or something, you know? And even not so much ghost movies, but like, Poltergeist is even, you know, that's psychological too. I mean, that's
yeah.
Not so much because that's really like, you don't know what the hell it is. It's just, I mean, evil, they were evil spirits or something, you know, in that house. I never saw that house. I'm all, like, I want to see it in California, but I almost want to go in a distance because I'm like, you know, I have like, I don't know. I feel like I'm freaked out. I'm like, oh, what if I take a picture in front of this thing, man? It's going to give me karma or something.
Right.
It's just a movie, you know, but yeah, so, like I said, some of them are just, I mean, and that was like some incredible cinematography too. And there were practical effects. I mean, there was three Poltergeist movies, right? Yeah. I think all of them were good. Even the third one was cool. As a kid, yeah. I loved the one, but part one and two are both really good. You know?
Yeah.
I remember
part two has that like preacher, that weird preacher that's like Anthrax ended up using as like a logo and stuff.
Yeah, like two was almost even better than one.
Yeah.
They were good, man. And oh, and part three with the guy, you know, he's like really old looking, like decrepit looking, like corpse looking guy in the mirror. He like scared the shit out of me, man. He's creepy. I still watch that movie like, oh man, that dude's like this. She kept seeing him in the mirror, you know? Yeah, like that had some really freaky imagery too, man. There was like, you would see out of nowhere, remember the puddle part? He's like they're in like the garage, parking garage, and there's like a puddle. The little girl, and she gets sucked into the water. There's like hands that come out. Like monster pulls them in, like, yeah. And then like the guy flies back out of the pool and he's all like frozen. I was like, yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. I mean, I'm on a kick with like those type of movies, you know, anything psychological.
Yeah.
I've been reading a lot of Clive Barker lately. You know, I love Clive Barker. I mean, who doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, because some of his stuff I never got around to reading, you know? I mean, I love the Hellraiser movies, but I've never read Hellbound, you know?
Yeah.
So that's probably going to be my next one. But I love Books of Blood. I'm reading Cold Hard Canyon right now, which is really good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when he came out in the 80s, when Hellraiser came out, like even Stephen King praised Clive Barker, you know, he was like, this guy is like, you know, going to be huge for the next, you know,
yeah,
his predecessor. And he really was. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of his. I mean, Hellraiser. Oh my God. Like I almost like part two better than the first one, but their part one is incredible. I like three. Some people hate three because that's when it started to get like, well, Pinhead talked a little more. He had more screen time and he was talking, you know, and there's more Cenobites, but I don't know. It's like, for me, it's like, I like it. It's a guilty pleasure.
No, I agree. It's almost like the slasher one. It's like the one that actually is the first one that feels like a slasher where like, you know, the first two films are always like equated to slashers, but they're kind of more psychological and, you know, the Cenobites show up every now and then, but the third one, they like show up and fuck shit up and it's like fun, you know, it's like enjoyable. So.
Yeah. That's why it was cool. It was definitely much gorier too.
Yeah, when they show up at the like the rave and just start killing people, and then they're like walking down the street. Yeah, that shit's fucking. It's got so many quotes too in it where he's like, where she's like, he's like, demons aren't real, and she's like, what the fuck is that? And then he like pops in the door, and it's like, that shit's no, that movie rules. I love Hell on Earth myself for sure.
And the band that played in it, I didn't notice till recently who it was. It's remember the band playing in the club?
Yeah.
That was I forget the band and the name of the band, but when I found out who it was, I was like, oh shit, I never knew that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say three. After that, after three is when it was like, ah, okay, it's starting down a little, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched one of the later ones they made, and I wasn't really impressed. I was like, oh man, this this is bad.
Yeah.
And even like the Cenobites weren't that great looking. Like you know. There's like one that has like arms and a face. You're like, are you kidding me? Like, you could just like jump over it or kick it or something. Mm-hmm. I feel like they skimped on some of the, you know, the special effects or something. But they got to a point where Pinhead was getting less screen time too, and you felt like you were watching like Twilight Zone or something, or some, you know, it didn't feel like Hellraiser, you know.
Yeah, I think everything after part four was like scripts that weren't even Hellraiser movies, and then they were like, oh, we could stuff Hellraiser into them. So they just wrote a few scenes for Pinhead and then like shoved it in, and it like didn't work out.
I haven't seen the remake. I'll get around to it. I heard it was actually pretty cool, you know. It's kind of neat that, I mean, technically Pinhead was written as a female, you know.
Yeah.
I guess some people didn't know that. They're like, oh, why is it a chick, man? I was like, well, originally it was, you know. So they're not really technically changing anything, you know. They just got a female instead of Doug Bradley. Yeah. Watching the other guys do Pinhead, I don't think it suffices, you know. it's almost like, yeah, I mean, it really, Doug Bradley is Pinhead, you know.
Yeah.
But I do want to check out the new one, though, because I heard it was kind of pretty good, you know. It wasn't bad. And I like their look. They were like more like of a whitish flesh color, and not so much the black S&M looking like Cenobites. They switched it up a little, which is cool. I think I'm like, you know, every time if you're gonna, you need to do things fresh. Sometimes you need to do, yeah. I kind of like that, you know.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed the reboot myself, and that's one of the reasons is like the design of them was super sick. Like, because like you said, they kind of like, instead of it being just like BDSM like leather shit, it's like they have like ripped flesh that's like designed out like to these really cool.
Yeah, yeah, it was you know, like it was cut into them or something. Like, it was cooler, and it was like, yeah. And I watched Chud 2 recently.
Bud the Chud.
I forgot how, you know, it's just, that's a guilty pleasure, man. It is much different than the first one. I, you know, the first one was a little more, it wasn't as much comedy, you know?
Yeah.
But it was still fun to watch, though. Yeah, man, I could just binge, like, I mean, but it's, for me, I don't know. Some people say, you know, even Troma, you know, I love the Troma stuff. Yeah. I met, I think it was Monster Mania, when I met Lloyd Kaufman. One time, he was pretty cool. I told him, I was like, yeah, I'm in Green Jelly, man. He's like, oh, yeah, I worked with you guys before. Mm-hmm. And, did some of our videos. He was really nice, and he signed my Toxic DVD and got a picture with him. It was pretty cool.
Fuck yeah. I had him on the show during the pandemic, and he came on. He had no pants on. My fucker was in his underwear, and he was playing the clarinet. I was like, dude, what the fuck? It was the wildest shit. So, like, he's still a character even in his age now. So,
yeah. Oh, man. He's a trip, man. But, yeah, mostly, like, I don't know. It's when I'm watching horror movies, too, it's just a way for me. I don't know. It helps me, like, relax, you know? Like, it's almost like, I don't know. Some people are like, oh, you relax watching horror movies? Well, I'm not weird. It's cool, you know? It helps me, right? You know? We enjoy it. It's just like anything. It's a hobby, you know?
When me and my wife go to bed every night, she's like, you put on whatever you want. And I'm like, well, I'm going to put on something that's full of screaming. So you put on what you want to watch, because like, she doesn't want to hear, you know, like people getting tortured for 4 hours. But I'm like, I'll fall asleep by the time the credits are done rolling. So.
Yeah, there's some stuff, too, I wanted to go back and watch. Like, I was big on I love Stephen King. Like, I think the remix of It, you know, with Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah.
I did a pretty good job. You know, that's not easy.
Yeah.
I mean, Tim Curry is amazing, Pennywise, you know. I mean, for what it's worth, I think he did a pretty good job. And he's getting, like, all the gigs now. He's in the Crow remake, the new Nosferatu.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good for him. I think he's a good actor. And he definitely pulled something off that wasn't easy. You know, and I like how he didn't try to, like, replicate Tim Curry. At all, he did Pennywise his way, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was pretty creepy, and the special effects were cool.
Yeah.
And they even put in the sequel in part two, they put stuff from the book that wasn't in the original, the '90s version, you know. Like with in the beginning, remember when they fight the kid, all these balloons, and they kick the kid, and he lands in the river.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part was in the book.
Yeah, I think that's like what the book opens with, if I'm not mistaken. It's like a like the cops like investigating that whole situation almost.
And I just thought that part was cool. You know, yeah. I was scary, like, and it wasn't in the original, you know, 90s version. So I thought it was cool that they put that in the new one. Yeah.
No, same. I was really, because I hadn't, so like when the first part one dropped, I hadn't like read the book. And then when by the time part two dropped, I had listened to like an audiobook of it because I had started a job where I was driving a lot because I was like delivering Little Debbie cakes at the time. And so like I listened to the audiobook by then. So then when the second movie came out and that scene came up, I was like, oh, dude, this is fucking awesome that they finally like put it in. So now I'm with you. It's fun to like, that's why like I hate the fact that they've remade Carrie 4 times and they just keep remaking the same movie. And I'm like, there's so much more in the book that you could add in. If you're going to remake it, at least put stuff in the book that wasn't in the first movie, you know, make it, give us a reason that you're remaking it, you know?
I mean, sometimes the books are always better. It depends sometimes, but sometimes they, you know, they hit it out of the park and the movie is amazing too. You know?
Yeah.
There's exceptions. I mean, it's hard to do, but, you know, Pennywise, like, Tim Curry, he was amazing. Like he was so scary. You know? I mean, it was like, go back and watch it now. And I remember I had it because it was longer. I thought the whole movie was in it when it was on TV, when it aired in parts, you know?
Yeah.
So, it was like when I bought the movie, the whole thing wasn't on. It was only the first part, you know, to when they were kids. I was like, oh damn, where's the second part? So, I remember because I like the second part when they're actually, I favor that part because that had some of my favorite scenes in it when they were adults and it came back.
Yeah.
You know? I know Stephen King is like a big fan of like Wes Craven too, you know. He loved the Nightmare films and stuff, and so I don't know, just the visions. There were some brilliant visions there that he had and ideas, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought to do that at the time? Stephen King has such a vision. All the fact that all of his stories, a lot of them are taking place in Maine, almost every single one. You know, he's got like my father passed away in 2011. He was like, he really was like a big part of me, getting me into horror, you know. We used to love watching the movies and he would give me books to read and stuff, you know. And so he was a big fan of Stephen King, you know.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of books from him. And he really got me into him. And just his imagination, man, is like, you know, it's killer.
Yeah.
I mean, anything he puts out is just... it's never bad, you know? And I've heard that Clive Barker actually, when he writes them by hand when he writes his books, you know? he's not sitting there on a laptop or even speaking it, you know? Not many people do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy writing myself. There's a lot of facets of horror that, because I'm so busy with music, you know? Sometimes it's frustrating. I'm like, oh, I want to do this so bad. I have to do it on my time off because I'm always like, I'm gigging or I'm on tour, you know? something's always going down. There's not a lot of time when you're a musician for relaxation. That's tough. But, you know, but again, the horror movies, that's how, you know, that's what I do to relax a lot.
Right.
But, you know, but like I said, getting in different facets, like I have ideas and I've had some, you know, things I mulled over to do with horror. I mean, I want to get like into acting a little bit, you know, but I started off with composing first, you know, because yeah. I can do that remotely. I mean, there's a possibility I may still be in Friday's. I had a part in Friday the 13th Blood Loss, but I had to go on tour, so I wasn't able to make it to set. So I may film something remote or go back when they start filming again. There's also another one coming out called Killer Pizza that I think I'm going to do. It's the same company, Forever Entertainment. It's a horror comedy, and I saw the Indigo campaign. I'm going to invest in that too. I think I'm going to do promote that a lot, and I'm going to do a song for that as well. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. And if I can be in it, I will, you know, because I want to start, like, hitting the conventions and stuff, you know. I mean, there's so much fun to go to, but I would love to have, you know, like, when my solo album comes out, maybe I'll get a table there, you know, and just get traction, people walking by, like, hey, here's my stickers, you know, demos, take them, you know. I have tons of Green Jelly shit, you know, that
yeah.
I mail out to people, I sell, you know, I sign, it's pretty cool. So I can... I bring a lot of that stuff with me as well, you know? So I definitely, I was going to do one last year, actually, in New York. There was this convention I couldn't make it to. Catastrophe. It was called Catastrophicon. It was not far from New York City.
Yeah.
It was the first year, but I heard it went pretty well. And that's a pretty good guess. We have some, you know, there's a good cast in this new Friday the 13th movie, man. You know, Ari Lehman, First Jason, is in it. His band is in it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Beatrice Buckley, who created from Nightmare on Elm Street 5. Then we have a lot of people. AJ Stone was in it from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So a lot of good cameos, man. And I'll tell you, I love Jason, you know, Friday the 13th. Like, he was never like my favorite, but like, now that I was working on this song for the film, I was like, let me do research, man. I went back and, you know, I like the box set, and I hadn't seen him in a while. So I'm watching all of them, and I'm like, you know, critiquing them, and I'm kind of, you know, that was fun. It was because I was doing like a little bit of a research for the film, you know?
Yeah.
When I wrote the song, I didn't want to be so derivative. I wanted to be, you know, it's called Camp Blood, but that's about as far as it goes into. Like, I don't really mention Jason in the song, you know?
Yeah.
But there's hints of there, you know, kind of running through the woods and, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun, man. I mean, I think horror movie, just as a genre, even if you're not, say, you could be directing, producing. Whatever it is, it's fun, you know? I mean, it really allows for you, because like you can put anything on the table. Like, I get good ideas. You know, if I'm working on a project with somebody, I'd rather spit it out. Maybe, you know, instead of holding in, maybe whoever I'm working with, it might be a good idea. They say, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. You know, I'd rather mention it than just keep it to myself, because they might, you know, you never know.
Right.
So that's why it's cool when you're collaborating with people, communication is important. You know, because ultimately I would love to start hitting the conventions and, you know, really get Blood Loss out there, you know, especially with, I'm going to press my single probably, maybe just on CD. Vinyl's expensive, man.
Yeah.
But eventually I'll get some, you know. It's cool. I have some vinyl releases. I have a, you know, bunch of the Green Jelly releases on my wall and stuff, and they look cool. You know, I got them in frames and all, and a lot of my recordings that I've done. But to press it is, it's not cheap, you know?
Yeah. Well, it takes a long to wait for the freaking plants these days, that you never know when it's going to come and all this and that and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we even at the Green Jelly shows, there's a lot of, it's very vaudeville, a lot of theatrics. We got people wearing puppet heads that are made out of, you know, duct tape and foam, you know? It's funny. You should see us like going through customs, you know? You know, imagine going to the airport with a bunch of, you know, they look like animals, you know, and like they're made out of, you know, they're puppet heads and, you know, duct taped into a big box. And we just throw it right through the x-ray machine. They're like, what? I told Bill Manspeaker, the singer, I was like, you need your own reality show, man.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, it feels good to be this, like, busy, man. Like, I'm on all fronts, music, you know, horror films, and even just discovering new things. I love seeing films that I've never, the other day, I love thrift shops, you know, I'm always going to thrift stores, man, any chance I can. I find that relaxing too, because I love to collect shit. That's why I find a lot of cool, weird horror stuff there, you know?
Yeah.
And I found a bunch of the old black and white horrors. It was like a six pack of like DVDs. It came with like Metropolis, Phantom of the Opera, Suspiria, a lot of the old great black and white films, Night of the Living Dead, stuff I haven't seen in so long, man. The original Nosferatu, really cool. It was a nice brand new box set. It was like $5. I was like, yes, score.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they don't make them like they used to, man. I watched Night of the Living Dead recently. I was like, oh my God, it's such a good film, man.
Yeah.
You know, it was so well made. You know, how silent it can be at times, and then other times, like, you know, how the soundtrack, because how they spliced everything in, you know, back then, the technology, and it also that wasn't like a real huge budget either. So, you know,
yeah.
it has that low budget, black and white, but it was so well done, you know? I mean, cause some of the movies in black and white back then, they were made by bigger studios, so they had bigger budgets, you know, but.
No, that scene where the trucks, like where they go try to like gas the truck up and then it catches fire and all this shit starts happening. That's like one of the most like tense scenes like of all time, in my opinion. And it's from 1969 or whatever it is.
So. Yeah. I mean, because that one random, you know, he looks like a drunk guy or something. He's like meandering and he's really creepy once you get up close. You know, that would be scary. I mean, they randomly attack you out of nowhere. I know they had the remake. Was Bill Moseley played the guy? I think they're coming to get you, Barbara. I think that was Bill. Oh, I love Bill Moseley, man. Did you have Lou Temple recently?
Yeah, like about a month ago. Yeah, he was on the show. That he was such a good
dude. He's awesome because I love zombies films. Some of them aren't my favorite, but I'm a fan of Rob Zombie films, and he's in like every one of them. But I enjoy him. He's good, especially he was good in Devil's Rejects, you know.
Yeah.
I like Three from Hell. I like 31. The one was a little strange. Remember the witch movie?
Lords of Salem. Yeah.
There were parts where I was like, "What is going on here?" It's just, but he had never really done anything like that before. That was kind of he went a little different with that one, you know.
Yeah.
But House of a Thousand Corpses, oh my God, that's one of my all-time favorite. I fucking love that. It's just, it's incredible. I think, you know, he nailed it with that, you know. I remember seeing that in theaters. At the time, that was one of the most, I mean, it was pretty intense, you know. And I came back, that was out back in maybe like 2003 or something.
Yeah, and, I think that's exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and so I was like, damn. I knew Rob Zombie, it was going to be intense, but I mean, but it was clever too. You know, and I like Devil's Rejects, and as a trilogy, I like it, but, you know, House of a Thousand Corpses is my favorite. You know, it's got a great storyline. And who was it? Oh, Sid Haig, you know, I always wanted to meet him, and he passed away a few years ago. He used to do the cons, you know, he was great at Captain Spaulding.
Yeah.
I used to be in this psychobilly band, a horror kind of rockabilly band called the Young Werewolves. Oh. And he was on our front cover of one of our albums. It's called Cheat the Devil, and he's on the front cover. He helped produce it because our singer was friends with him. I was like, oh man, that's cool. I think he was a good actor too. You know, I mean, even the stuff that wasn't horror, you know, some of the older films that he was in.
Yeah.
But it's cool that, I mean, up until that point, like he really did kind of get a good break being in Rob Zombie's films, you know?
Yeah.
He was known, but that really helped him, you know. He was doing a lot of conventions after that, you know?
Yeah, so he got him other films too. Like he ended up cameoing and he's like in the very beginning of Bone Tomahawk. I don't know if you checked that film out. But he's in like the beginning of that. He ended up being in like one of Quentin Tarantino's movies real quick and stuff like that. So like I think once pretty much like Rob Zombie introduced him back into just acting in general, he started really getting some cameos here and there and just constantly working.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't heard anything recently from Rob Zombie. Is he coming out with anything? He did the Munsters, right?
Yeah, he did the Munsters, and then like I know right now he's like doing another like him and Alice Cooper are touring again, doing that Twins of Evil tour. So I think he's doing music shit right now, but you know eventually he'll probably return to movies, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's funny. Like I like him almost more as a director. Like I love what White Zombie was like. It's like one of my favorite bands. Like I wish they would like you know do a reunion. When he went solo. I wasn't as much into him, you know, but he's still cool though, you know, but I still always will love White Zombie, you know, and I heard rumors, you know, but I'm not expecting it. I'm not going to hold my breath. Cause I feel like if they were going to get back together, they would have already done it, you know?
Yeah.
But it would be awesome. I would tell, oh my God, I would not want to miss that. You know, especially if like Tempesta came back, and the original members, you know, and Sean Yule, that would be cool, man. Yeah, I'm trying to think what else I watched recently. God, I've been on such a kick. But with horror, sometimes you just can't get enough of it, man.
Right? No, fuck yeah.
I don't know. Even if it's something that I watched recently, I'll you know, I might just watch it again.
Yeah.
Just to see if I like it as good as the first time.
Hell yeah. So pretty much at the end of the show, I like to ask, you know, at least one hypothetical question that mixes the music of movies. And then I like to ask one question in all the shows. The hypothetical question I wanted to ask you was if you were ever, you know, we talked about, you know, you're doing some songs for a couple movies, but if you ever were to score a horror movie, what subgenre would you like to score? Would you like to do a slasher film or would you like to do something more, you know, sci-fi horror, supernatural horror, or, you know, folk horror or anything else?
You know, I mean, I didn't even really think about scoring. You're actually like making me want to like, you know, that's a cool idea, man. I mean, I would love to, I hope to maybe at some point. And to answer your question, I would say, what we were talked about earlier. We touched on the psychological, you know, because I like to write a lot, you know. I enjoy, you know, and I've written things in the past. I've had some ideas. I was toying around with an idea, this thing called Help Me, which was a series of drawings that I was going to turn into either a graphic novel, but or I'm thinking more of lines, maybe a short film now, you know.
Okay.
Even I draw from things I've experienced in my own life, you know, the darkness that people can, you know, death and loss and pain and things like that, you know, grief. It really helps me with the writing process, you know. When I get inside my own head, I almost turn that into positive, but it's through horror, you know, just being creative. So, yeah, that, I would say that psychological, American Psycho-ish, you know. That's what I would do, yeah. And, you know, I hope to do something that would be really cool. Like, wow, I'm even excited just to write songs for films and be on the soundtrack. I mean, I guess you got to start somewhere, right, you know. And then one day maybe Kevin, you know, the score – film score by Kevin Crimson. I'm like, holy shit.
Oh yeah, man. I can definitely see it for sure. Especially like once you start promoting the stuff that you know you wrote songs for and stuff, eventually somebody will be like, hey, let's score something, you know. So definitely look forward to it for sure. But pretty much the last question I like to ask all my guests, and of course if you think of a movie or something you want to shout out, feel free to. But the last question I like to ask all my guests is, do you have a horror story of your own? And of course it could be, you know, from playing a show that went wrong, or, you know, just something that was scary as shit that happened to you in your personal life. And if you believe in the paranormal, you're more than welcome to share a story like that as well.
At this point, just how crazy the world is. I mean, nothing surprises me anymore. You know, people say, oh, aliens aren't real. If an alien could walk by me, I'd be like, see, I told you. Vampires. I'm not saying that people are live forever. I'm just saying that they might be out there somewhere. I mean, there's enough movies about them, right? Shit might gotta be real.
Right. Just a cult of people that drink blood. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be. Yeah.
And through the blood, it makes them, they are healthier. They're like vegan. They live longer, you know? So.
Right. Get the vitamins.
And I'd say I do believe, I think, in the paranormal, you know. I'm somewhat spiritual, I think, you know. I'm not a religious person, but I am somewhat spiritual, and I think that, you know, there's something, you know, there's something there. There's some type of force that maybe we don't see, you know.
Yeah.
And I believe that, you know, people say they've seen ghosts before, and everyone looks at them like they're lying or they're crazy. Well, I don't pass that judgment, you know?
Yeah.
Because I haven't, not that I've seen one, but I'm just saying I don't know, disbelieve, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm very skeptical, but I still have the same like thing. Like I still believe people, like, even though I'm skeptical, I'm always skeptical. And like, I try to explain it. It's not that I don't believe people, you know what I mean? I just try to think of ways to explain things, but like I've heard so many stories, like this is probably episode almost 240 that we're recording of this thing. So I've heard so many paranormal stories at this point that I would be stupid to not believe some of these. Like one of the craziest stories I heard was there's a guy, I wish I could remember who it was, I really wish I could, but it was like one of the first like 100 episodes I did, and their horror story was that they, when they were a baby, would see a guy in the corner of their room, and they would, like, you know, make comments to their parents and stuff like that. Years later, they had a baby sister who took over their room and saw the same guy in the corner of their room. And I'm like, shit like that. It's just like, how do you explain that? You know what I mean? Like babies seeing the same thing, like babies already are more susceptible to that shit already. And then to see the same thing, it's just like stuff like that is why I can't like write it off completely ever. You know what I mean?
I appreciate you, you know, having me on the show. Like I try and tell people when I can, like through my music or my art, I try to like help people. Like I wouldn't say, I guess my own horror stories, like I've been through some things in my life, that some struggles, you know, and with depression, you know, and anxiety, and being, you know, had my sister passed away, and so it was hard, you know.
Yeah.
And I got through it, man, just like through my music and through, you know, even the horror community and my friends, you know, and anyone out there who's like aspiring, I would say like it's worth it, you know. You just don't ever give up, you know, and don't give up on your dreams, because dreams do come true, you know. And there's a, you know, there's a, it's a great community, the horror community, you know. Everyone, I met a lot of friends, at the conventions and at shows. They, come to see me play or whatever, and yeah, it's just, I love it. And, it's been a blast, a lot of fun. I've been in a lot of hard punk bands and stuff and like that, too. So that's all been a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to everything I have coming up, and looking forward to seeing y'all on the road when I'm touring, and get my music out there. My EP will be out soon, later this year, and check out my horror movies that I'm scoring for.
Now, I definitely, like you said, I love the message that you pointed out earlier, never be afraid to share your ideas, because bouncing your ideas off of people can definitely, grow something out of it and really get you moving in, whatever direction you're trying to move in. So,
absolutely.
No, fuck yeah, man. I appreciate you for coming on the show. It was a blast chatting with you, and we'll definitely do this again in the future. We'll chat your favorite horror sequels, and, we'll pick some other subjects and stuff and just, chat again about horror. So,
yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Thank you so much, man. It was a blast. Had a lot of fun.
And as usual, I just want to say thanks again for listening, and make sure you check back next week as I'll be joined by the one and only Jake Dozen of the band Suck A What and Don't Start None. Also, of course, I'll be dropping another Tiny Terror episode. I think I'll be joined once again by my wife, Lauren, and this time around, we're going to dive into Lisa Frankenstein, as well as possibly the Ebola syndrome. So check out that on Tuesday, as well as Jake's episode on Thursday. Go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and X for all updates on the podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, you could do so by just sharing it around, or rating and subscribing wherever you're listening. Or if you'd like to sign up for the Patreon, it is only $2 a month. The link for that is in the description. Thanks again for listening, and stay safe.